All right. Let's turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter 10. By the way, if you did not get the notes, there's still a few sets up here. If you need the notes on the series that we did in the morning session. Numbers chapter 10. And verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Come now with us, and we will do thee good. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, Joy for the Journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies in Christ. For the great love wherewith Thou hast loved us, unworthy and fallen as we are, You have reached down in the miry pit and set our feet upon the rock and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. Thank You, Lord, for salvation in Christ Jesus. Thank You for the privilege of being able to serve You. And I pray that You'd bless this night, as the Word of God is preached, that the Spirit of God may move freely and swiftly among hearts and minds. And I pray that even tonight You would be pleased to draw a sinner out of darkness into Your marvelous light and bring salvation to some soul. Lord, I pray for the saints of God that You would use this message to challenge each and every one of us to live joyfully, to have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for all Your mercies. Lord God, we do pray for those that have been victims of terrorist attacks around the world. I know that the world does not need a political Messiah. They need to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. And I pray that You would use all of these displays of human depravity and wickedness to cause men and women and boys and girls to think upon the frailty, the brevity, the uncertainty of life, and that, Lord, You might use it to draw them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. Joy for the journey. You know, after the children of Israel had been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, they had been delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh, they had been set free from the slavery in Egypt. They saw God open up the Red Sea. They were able to go over dry shod. It must have been amazing to see the hand of God working on their behalf. They saw their enemies destroyed. God was providing for them. And they were beginning their journey to the fair land of Canaan, a land that God had promised them. And in our text, Moses stops to talk to this man, Hobab. I don't know any Hobabs. Never met one. But this guy is mentioned in Scripture, and it's important. And Moses said, listen, we're going to Canaan. Why don't you come along with us? I believe at this point, Moses was filled with joy, with hope. He was journeying to Canaan's fair land. He wanted this man to come along. You see, at this point in the narrative, Moses knew nothing about the wilderness that he was about to wander in for 40 years. He didn't know about all the complaining of the Israelites there in that day. He didn't know about that yet. His hope was fixed on the land that was flowing with milk and honey and the promises of God. And he'd already experienced the power of God in a miraculous way. You know, God's people, you and I, are on a journey to a land promised by God, much like Moses. Like Moses, our hearts ought to be filled with joy, with hope, with gratitude, with thanksgiving. If there is anybody on the face of the earth that ought to be walking with a spring in their step, with a song in their heart, it ought to be people who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who have all the promises of God. We ought to be joyful. We ought to be thankful. And people ought to see it in our lives. You see, the Christian life is a lot like a journey. We're on a journey to a faraway land. Now, I don't know about you, but now I've got to give you a little disclaimer for this sermon. Me and my wife are exact opposites when it comes to travel. When it comes to going on a trip, all right? I can barely get my wife off of Buffalo Creek Road. I mean, she loves staying at home. She loves being around the grandkids. She don't like traveling hardly at all. Now me, I like new adventures. I like going somewhere that I've never been before. And you know, I enjoy taking journeys. I like going on vacation. Now, if I give my wife enough Benadryl, we do go on vacation. I'm really just teasing about that. But I have learned to go when, you know, we leave when she's kind of sleepy. And she kind of falls asleep. But I love going on vacation. I love being around. Last year, our whole family. Now this, you may think this is terribly horribly. So you may not listen to another thing I say, but we had the opportunity. We've been saving up for a couple of years, and everybody in our family, all my grandkids, my kids, we all went to Disney World, stayed in Disney World, and had this package. My daughter, man, she can arrange everything. She had arranged for us to stay there, to eat there. Everything was one price. I'm telling you, I had so much fun with my grandkids. I did everything. I mean, everything but the Bippity Boppity Boutique. The little girls did that. You know, they went and got all fixed up, and I think that was the man's day. We had a lot of fun. In fact, one time all the men and all of the and Gavin, my grandson, we went on Space Mountain. And, I mean, this is a really fast ride. We'd already ridden it once. And it's late at night, and it completely stops at the top. And you know when you're on a ride, and it's all dark in there, you know when all the lights come on, that something's really gone wrong. And when it comes over the intercom, please do not attempt to get out of your seats. Because, I mean, you're suspended. It's like a big, massive roller coaster thing. And so they came, unloosed us. We had to kind of hop over the rail and go all the way down. I saw the beast from the inside. All the way down. But we had so much fun. I had such a great time being with my family. I enjoy journeys. Now, I thought about that. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have family that love you, that care about you. Friends that you know you can count on. And you know, we ought to enjoy the journey on our way to heaven. We ought to be an encouragement to one another and a help to one another. But as I was preparing this message, I started thinking, as God's people, we ought to rejoice in knowing that our final destination is going to be the glories of that heavenly land. And it ought to thrill our hearts. And every day, if we had this in mind, I believe we'd have a greater sense of joy, of expectation, of recognition of blessings. But I started thinking about some things that make a journey enjoyable. Now, number one is adequate preparation. Before I start out on a trip, I like to be prepared. I make lists. Man, I make lists. I figure out there's a clothes list. There's a food list. I've got a list for everything. We're planning this thing out. I like to be prepared. Things that we need. I don't like to be rushing around at the last minute and forget things. In order to have a joyful journey to heaven, you need to prepare. By faithfully devoting yourself to the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Now, first of all, if you're not saved here tonight, you are not even on the journey. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. If you stay in your sins, you'll die in your sins and spend eternity in the lake of fire. You'll know nothing of the joy of this journey. So before I begin to say to you that are saved how you ought to prepare, you that don't know God through Jesus Christ, you need to repent. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But if you're going to go to heaven and you're going to go there joyfully, you need to discipline yourself in the ways of godliness and truth. You see, I'm convinced that the reason why many people are discouraged and disappointed and even filled with shame is because they're not daily preparing to enter into heaven's glory. Listen, you ought to be ready. You ought to be preparing even now. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." That means they're defenseless. If you don't discipline yourself in the ways of truth and godliness, you're not going to have a joyful journey. You're going to always be flying by the seat of your pants. You're not going to know what God wants you to do if you're not in His Word, if you're not praying, if you're not assembling with the saints, if you're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. You're not going to be prepared. And I see it in so many folks today. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." If you want your journey to heaven to be joyful, happy, do right. I've said it so many times in our church. When are your kids most happy? When they're doing right. You know, when they're doing wrong and they've got to be corrected and they feel guilty and you've got to deal with them, nobody's happy. And so it is within the family of God. You want to be happy? Do right. Determine every day to prepare yourself, exercise yourself, rather unto godliness. Remember what I said last night on why we should love the Word of God? It's God's truth given to us so that we can learn and so that we can grow. Remember what BBB stands for, Brother Philip? What is it? Thank you, brother. I knew I could count on you. Now, he knew that, Bible before breakfast. Now, I'm not going to ask you this, but I wonder how many of us practiced it today. Did you spend any time at all in the Word of God when you started your day? It's vital. It's important. So number one, you've got to have adequate preparation. You know, when we start out, when I'm getting ready to go on a trip, man, I try to envision what it's going to be like. I start thinking about what we're going to do. And I look forward to it. You know another thing that's very helpful? Right directions. I like to know where I'm going when I set out on a journey. Does anybody remember maps? Remember that? You remember when you get ready to go on a trip and if you were fortunate enough to have a AAA card, you'd call AAA and say, "Hey, I'm going to the Snake River. Can you give me a packet to get me there?" And you'd study the maps and you'd figure out where you're going to go. That was long before Google Maps, Yahoo Maps, before GPS. My kids make fun of me about the GPS because I never use it. I got an iPhone. They say it's a smartphone, but a lot of times I feel really dumb when I'm trying to use it, especially with the directions. I still write the directions out. I go on, or either I print them out, go on to Yahoo Maps or something, point A, point B. I want to know how to get there. Because I remember what it was like when I didn't have real good directions. I remember one time I was preaching in Mississippi, and that in itself, you know, a Yankee in Mississippi, it can be a little dicey. And I remember driving down the Mississippi, and I'm trying to get to Mantachie, Mississippi. All right? I'm going to preach a revival meeting, and I stop, and I'm trying to get directions, and this guy says, "Well, I'll tell you, here's how you get there." Now, he said it a little different way, but he said, "You're going to go about 4 miles, and you're going to see a rusted-out Chevrolet truck." All right? "You make a left there and then a jag to your right when you see a rusted out Pontiac." I mean, and then he was trying to explain it to me, and I got back in the car and Tammy said, "So did you get the right directions?" I said, "I have no idea what he just said." We're going to have to pray that God gets us there. You know, it's a horrible feeling when you're going somewhere and you don't have good directions. You don't know how to get there. But you know there's a certain peace when you know that you're on the right track. When you know that you got good directions, everything's sound, and you're going to make it by the grace of God. There's a peace about that. You know, God's Word is the Christian's map for the journey to heaven. If you'll faithfully study it and apply its precepts and obey its commands, you'll have a greater sense of peace and joy. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You want joy for the journey? You got to have right directions. You got to get in the Word. You got to make this a part of your life. It has to be in you. You need to not only read it, study it, meditate upon it, memorize it, think deeply upon it, live it out, practice it by way of principled living. You and I need to follow the right directions. God's Word says this is the way. Walk ye in it. But if you neglect the contents of the Word, you'll find yourself going in the wrong direction. I've seen it happen to people. You know, you're going along in the Christian life and you start letting down on little things. And before too long, you find yourself listening to the world, to ideology and philosophy that's completely contrary to God's Word. And what you begin to do is you begin to open up to things that are going to hurt you, and you shut down things that are going to help you. And you begin to justify your sin. When you get away from the Word of the living God, you begin to justify in your own mind the direction, the wrong direction that you're going in. And it won't be long before you'll find yourself being chastened by the hand of Almighty God, or you'll be miserable instead of joyful. Your ability to make right decisions will diminish. You know, one of the goals of raising children is to teach them the truth so that they can make right decisions based on the Word of God independently of you. That's what we're trying to do in raising our children. That they'll also be guided by the right directions. The Bible says in Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. How is it with you tonight? Have you studied the directions? Are you walking in the right way? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where joy is. Now thirdly, another thing I like when I go on vacation and take a journey is adequate provisions. When I go on a trip, I love to cook. My family loves that I love to cook. But I like to be well stocked with my favorite things to eat. I like to know that I have plenty of good things to feast on. And I start planning before we ever go. Okay, now Monday night, I plan. You know what? It's vacation. We're going to have steak one night. And so I'm a meat cutter. I pick out some good steaks. I get them and season them and I put them in the freezer. That's one night ready to go. And I think of other things that are, now all of my kids and grandkids, they beg me for my spaghetti. During the school year, Monday night is spaghetti night at our house. Everybody descends there. And they're like locusts. They just eat everything in sight. But when I go on vacation, man, I don't want to eat at Burger King. I don't want to eat a bunch of junk food. I want to eat good stuff. I want to have provisions. Now, we used to drink pop. You know what pop is? Coke, stuff like that. I don't drink a lot of that anymore. Okay? I've drank more iced tea this week than I have in the last 5 years. And boy, it's been good. But I'm breaking that habit, man. I'm going back to straight water when I get home. But years ago, man, me and my wife, we thought it was something special to have real Coca-Cola, you know. And I would buy the kids, I think they used to call it Big K, you know, the lesser, because that was just for them. I mean, Coke were just not good enough for it was too good for the kids. I looked at Coke like Baptist champagne or something. You know, it really is the good stuff. And so I'd get a case of Coke, and then I'd get them some off-brand, because they wouldn't know any difference anyway. They couldn't even read yet. But we always stock things up. I like having adequate provisions. You know, one of the greatest sources of joy during our journey to heaven is to realize all the spiritual bounty that we have in Jesus Christ. We are well stocked with blessings on this journey. And all we have to do every day is to start thinking, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We're complete in Him. He's provided for us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have it all. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We have it all. We just need to realize, recognize, and appropriate those blessings each and every day. I wonder, do you realize how much provision, how much grace, how much glory you have in the person of Jesus Christ? I tell you, that'll make you so joyful. When you start thinking, I've been saved from the wrath of God because Jesus took that wrath for me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I'm in Christ. I'm complete in Him. I'm justified from all things. I have the garments of salvation. I have everything I need to get to glory. There should never be a day when I'm discontent because of all the provisions that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet some Christians are miserable because they spend more time dwelling on what they don't have instead of what they do have. That'll really mess you up. When you get your eyes off the Lord, maybe you get your eyes on a brother or a sister that God is really blessing them, and in your heart, you don't want to admit it, but you're jealous. You're envious. Why'd they get that? Now, you've got enough Christian ethic about you that you won't actually mouth that, you know. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You may hide your attitude from somebody else, but you can't hide it from the Lord. Learn the joy of contentment with the provisions, the ample provisions that you have in Jesus Christ. And you'll have joy in this journey. And if you think that maybe you're lacking in something that you feel like you really need, He even says, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3, go to God and say, Lord, help me. And He will provide. Another thing that'll help you to be joyful on the journey is to rejoice in the fellowship on the way. I remember we used to go to Canada a lot when our kids were little, because when you go there, your kids can get as dirty as they want and nobody cares. You know, we'd go camping with about 40 other Christian people, and we would fish, we'd play, we'd ride bikes. We would just have a blast. And I finally learned one of the secrets of how to get there peacefully. We used to load up. I called it Old Blue. Had an Old Blue Caprice Classic station wagon. Big dent on the right side. It had just a very small, like a luggage rack. Well, I decided I was going to make an extra luggage rack. So I Me and my brother-in-law put wood up on top of there and put everything up on there. This was, you know, this is a long time ago. I should have been arrested. I mean, my kids, they never wore seat belts. And please, kids, don't get any ideas. All right? But we threw everything we had up on the top, and then he had a blue tarp, of all things. We strapped that thing down. It looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. And we're setting out for Canada in Old Blue. And the kids, I had made them, I put down the back seat of the Caprice Classic station wagon and lined that whole back with pillows and blankets. And they had their own little place, man. My three little kids, they thought they were in heaven. You know? They just thought that was the greatest thing. I finally learned the secret of traveling. We left in the middle of the night. You know, and the kids, we got them something to eat. Down they went. And I got to spend time just talking to my wife until she fell asleep. And even after that, it was so peaceful. You know, driving all the way to Canada. Just enjoying the fellowship with my wife. The quietness. You need to learn how joyful it is to just enjoy the fellowship on your way to heaven. To spend time in the secret place of the Most High. To talk to the Lord. If you really want to enjoy the journey to heaven, you need to faithfully commune with God. You need to spend quiet time with Him. And you need to enjoy the worship with His people. Listen, something's wrong in your life if come to church is not a joyful exercise. You ought to look forward. You and I ought to be saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 and verse 1. And if that's not there, you need to seek God about that. Some of the greatest joys you will ever have in your life will be assembling with the saints of God, singing the praises of Zion, hearing some faithful man of God pouring out his heart in prayer, hearing the Word of God preached in power, seeing people saved, seeing people's hearts get right. Listen, man, it's glorious to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And enjoy fellowship with your wife, with your husband. Enjoy your children. Right now. But when you're unfaithful in your private devotions, unfaithful in church attendance, unfaithful in your giving, you're not going to have joy for the journey. You know, the reason why many Christians, professing Christians, are unhappy, they're out of fellowship. They're not spending time with God. You're not going to have joy for the journey. Another blessing is knowing you have adequate resources in case you run into some troubles or difficulties. It's almost inevitable. Especially if you have kids. It's almost inevitable something is going to go wrong. You're going to run into difficulties that are unexpected on a trip. I remember one year we were so excited, man. It had been a very difficult year as a pastor. Have you ever had a difficult year, brother? I mean, we really needed some time just to enjoy one another and unwind a little bit. Preachers, Don't feel guilty about taking some time with your family. You need to. Well, I can remember it so vividly. Me and Tammy were so excited. We had just, each of us, bought brand new Circle K coffee cups. Remember Circle K? And you could get them filled up if you bought these cups. We were talking to each other. Can you look at this deal? This is amazing. I wonder how many Circle K's are on the way. How much free coffee we're going to have. Well, we're drinking our coffee. The kids are kind of sleepy. And we're driving to Canada. We got Old Blue loaded up, loaded to the gills. And all of a sudden I see white smoke coming out of the front. I don't know anything about cars. I mean, I know that when you turn the key, they start. You put them in gear and go. I know how to change oil and stuff like that. But other than that, I don't know anything. And this was when I was really young, so I was dumb as a rock. And we're driving along and white plumes of white smoke start coming out of the hood. And all of a sudden, the car starts kind of shaking. And Tammy looked over at me and she said, "This can't be good." I said, "Honey, you're right." Of course, we didn't have a cell phone. How did anybody live without a cell phone? So what did I do? I locked the doors. I ran to the nearest house. And I called a buddy of mine. This guy was from North Carolina. I was the only one in our church that could understand how he talked. He talked like a NASCAR mechanic. And I called him up and I said, "Brother, you know, we're going to have to cancel our trip. Something." I explained to him what the car was doing. He said, You blown a head gasket, brother." I said, "What? You blown a head gasket, brother." It was a head gasket. All right, I finally figured that out. He said, "Don't worry about a thing." He said, "I'll be down there with a tow strap and I'll get it fixed for you." This guy could fix anything. Well, then he called another member of the church and said, "Hey, Brother Ross, his head gasket blew up." And that guy said, "You know what? We're not using our white station wagon." They drove their old white station wagon over right to where we were. And they started helping us unload all of our stuff. My kids were so... I mean, when we thought we weren't going to Canada, it's all turmoil, man. Everybody's in an uproar. And don't worry. We'll work things out. And then to see these brothers who loved our family come and took care of everything. I'll tell you, it's such a blessing to know that you've got brothers and sisters in Christ that care about you. There's something special about being part of the Lord's church. And I'll never forget the look on my kids' eyes when Brother Morgan pulled up with that old white station wagon. And he said, "Hey, let's put all your stuff in here." And the kid said, "We're getting a new car!" You know, they didn't realize that they were just lending it to us. "We're getting a new car, man! And we're going to Canada." When I got back, Old Blue was fixed. I can tell you so many blessings in my life that I'm unworthy to receive. And I am so glad that I have a God that cares about somebody as insignificant as me. It amazes me how God provides not just our needs, but many of our wants. It was the desire of our heart to go to Canada And even though the way was blocked as far as I was concerned, He made a way. I mean, to me that day, that was my Red Sea crossing, man. I mean, the Lord opened it up. You know, troubles are part of the Christian life. And when they come, it's a joy to know that you can call on the Lord and find refuge and comfort in time of need. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Even in the midst of trials, God is ever present. He'll supply all your needs in Christ Jesus according to His riches in glory. Another thing that this is part of my thing about going on a trip is the anticipation of arrival. Half the fun of a vacation for me is the anticipation of getting there. And thinking about all the fun, all the good times, good food that I'm going to have with my family. And the look on their faces when we're doing something really neat. I mean, to see my kids just squeal with glee. There is nothing like that. And I envision those things. I think about where we're going, what we're doing. And as God's people, we ought to daily anticipate our arrival in heaven. You see, we're going to see the King in His beauty in a land that is far off. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to take our place around the throne of God with all the blood-washed who are there by the grace of God, dressed in spotless white, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And we're going to take our place and we're going to rejoice unlike anything we've ever experienced before. Do you anticipate the coming of the Lord? The joy of knowing one day you're going to be in His presence forever? The One who loved us and gave Himself for us. You know, some Christians mope around like they're on a trip to the graveyard instead of the glories of heaven. And that ought not to be. We have so much that yet awaits us. Now something, a little disclaimer I've found about earthly trips. They're not always as good once you get there. That ever happened to you? I remember the first year we went to Canada. The people that we were going with, I mean, they made this sound like, you know, you've never experienced anything like this in your life. It's going to be it's going to be amazing. And they were trying to explain the cabins. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a really nice cabin. Well, I pull up into the place where the cabins were, and the whole place stunk. I mean, like a sewer stink. We go up, and I finally found our cabin. And I pulled up in front of it, and I thought, that as soon as I looked at it, I thought, you know, I think this is the wrong one. It had a hole in the bottom of the door. you know, the old rickety door. And then the worst part of it was, this has never happened to me before in my life. I opened that door, and a squirrel ran right up my leg. And this is where we're staying for the week. Well, we went in, cleaned it up, made it home for a week. But you know, earthly things, you shouldn't set your heart on. Because they're not nearly as good as you think they are. But you can never make that mistake in anticipating heaven and its glories. Now there's just a couple of things I want to close with. There are some differences between earthly and heavenly journeys. Sometimes your journey on earth is aborted. For some reason, you don't make it to your desired destination. Not so with the journey to heaven. God made sure reservations. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. You see, me getting to an earthly destination often involves things that I do. Me getting to heaven, it's all based on what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm resting in Him. I'm trusting in Him. I'm depending upon Him. And my inheritance is reserved in heaven. On earthly trips, you know that you got to come back to the daily grind. You know what it feels like when you're driving back and you're about 2 hours away and you get the butterflies in your stomach. Because you start thinking, wow, I wonder how many bills are in the mailbox. I wonder how many emails I'm going to have to answer. I wonder how high the grass is. Do you ever think of those things? I do. I mean, when I'm coming back. And I start thinking all the things that I've got to catch up on. In other words, on earthly trips, you've got to go back to the earthly grind. But once we enter into heaven's glory, we're never going to go back to the way we were. It'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. We will enjoy the presence and the power of the Lord. We will never grow weary. Our hearts will be full of devotion and love. Never again will we feel anxiety or worry or disappointment or grief. On earthly trips, you sometimes meet disappointment when you finally arrive. I've already told you about that. But I guarantee you something. When you get to heaven, there won't be any disappointment at all. Now, lost people, you know, you can enjoy trips with your family here and now. And don't underestimate what a blessing your family is to you, young people. You ought to be so thankful for parents and grandparents that fear the Lord. People that love you, are praying for you, looking out for you. Don't underestimate the value of that. One of the reasons why our country is going to hell is because we've lost a sense of family. But you know what? If you die in your sins, you're not going to heaven. You won't be with the rest of your family that are saved. You'll never see them again. There'll never be another prayer uttered on your behalf if you die in your sins. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. You'll never enjoy the blessings of heaven. You'll only experience the torments of the lake of fire as the eternal ages roll. So this is very serious. I urge you tonight to simply put down your arms of rebellion and trust Jesus Christ. Whatever false ideas you have, set them aside. And if tonight you desire more than anything else in the world to know what it means to be forgiven and to have assurance that you're going to spend eternity with God in the glories of heaven, repent and trust the Lord. He's the only one. He's the only one I can point you to. There's no other Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. If you want to enjoy the glories of heaven, you have to trust the Lord because He's the only way to get there. Let's all stand.